Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to the Gospel of John. I know we just finished our study of the Gospel of John, but we're going to chapter 15 for a message this evening about bearing fruit as believers in Christ. So John chapter 15, we'll look at the first half of the chapter this evening. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. When God created the world, He gave a mandate to mankind and even to the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and so on and the beasts of the field to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He had created them good. The Bible says that He saw what He created and it was very good. And so He told them to reproduce after their kind, to fill up the earth with good people, good creatures, was the plan of God. He had the same mandate later on for Noah after the flood and after the ark had landed. When they were getting off the ark, again, God's mandate was to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And the earth had been filled with wickedness. And God, of course, had destroyed the wickedness. And now it was time to repopulate the earth and trusting, of course, in righteousness. Of course, we know God knew all things. It wasn't that He expected that people would completely have changed, but He desired, of course, that Noah and his family would reproduce and fill up the earth and the animals and so on as well. When Jesus came to the earth and began His earthly ministry, He called followers to follow Him. Those followers we often refer to as the disciples, the apostles, and they were to be what? They were to be fishers of men. They were to reproduce after their kind, as it were, not the physical aspect, but spiritually to bring more people to Christ, and so therefore to be fruitful in that way. In the face of the wickedness that is in the world, they were to be fishers of men and reproduce fruit that remained, as we find here in our text this evening, even in John chapter 15, verse 16. And the disciples did as Jesus commanded. They went out, and they went all kinds of places. They went and they preached the gospel under threat of and under endurance of persecution in Acts chapter 1 and 2. They were empowered in chapter 3. The persecution came. Chapter 4, all through the book of Acts, persecution ensued. But still, they were busy about being fruitful and reproducing, as it were, believers and bringing people to Jesus Christ. Those who were saved, and not just the disciples, but they went everywhere preaching the word, we're told in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. So Jesus' mandate for the disciples is still in effect today, but His disciples are not those 12 men who we could maybe name most of, but His disciples are you and I, Christians today, who live in this day. We are responsible to reach our generation. We are responsible to be fruitful as believers and bring other people to Jesus Christ. Christians are saved to bear fruit, lasting fruit. I'm sure it's the desire of most every Christian to be fruitful, to have a fruitful life as a Christian, to bring other people to Christ and to produce the fruit in their own life. If it isn't your desire to see more people to come to Christ and to produce godly fruit in your life, you probably say as a Christian there's something wrong with your faith. Because we should desire to reach more people. We should desire for our life to evidence the change that Christ has made in our life. If there's ever a time that Christians need to be busy about bearing fruit, though, it's really today. We look around and we say the Lord's coming draws nigh. We can't help but think that at any moment the trumpet could sound. So what do we need to be busying ourselves with is seeking to bear fruit. Wickedness prevails. The Lord's coming is drawing near. Time is short. We need to be fruitful, multiply our faith upon the earth. And so that's the title of the message this evening is Be Fruitful and Multiply. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful, this evening we are thankful for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction you've given to us, not only to be bearers of fruit, but how we can bear fruit. Lord, we pray that we would take to heart the lessons in this chapter and throughout your word and realize the importance of being fruitful Christians in this day. Lord, we know that when we look around, we would think that time is drawing near, that the day of grace will soon come to an end. And so, Lord, we need to use our time wisely, as you've told us, to redeem the time, Lord, to bring forth fruit in our lives and to bring others to you. Lord, and so we pray you'd help us to realize the importance of that and how we can enact that in our life. And so bless this message to our hearts tonight, we pray. And may we go forth desirous to be fruitful believers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about the types of fruit that are possible, of course, in the Christian life. Jesus doesn't specifically say in this chapter this is the kind of fruit. He just talks about fruit in a general sense. And so we could think about the different fruit that is possible for us to produce as Christians. What is Jesus speaking of? What fruit is there that we can produce in our life? A couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, we began really this lesson that's now become the message for tonight. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible study. And so we'll not take a great deal of time on that tonight, but I would like us to consider, especially for those of us who weren't here on that evening, what kind of fruit is there that we can win or produce in our life for the Lord? Well, probably the first thing that comes to our mind many times would be the fruit of other people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's no doubt that Christians need to win people to Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We are wise when we use our ability and when we, as we'll see tonight, abide in Christ and when we desire to reach out to reach others with the gospel and we win them. We win souls, as we call it, soul winning for Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Life. We are to be life-giving in this world in which we live. Not that we can grant eternal life, but we can give others the message of salvation and eternal life. Let's look back at John chapter 1 this evening, just a few pages back probably. John chapter 1, we're in the Gospel of John, and so we'll look at John chapter 1, and we will see this in practice, that there was one who became a believer in Christ, became a follower of Christ, and he went and found another and brought that one also to Christ. John chapter 1, verse 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was there. He heard that. So what did he do? Verse 41, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ." Verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. So there is a perfect example of bringing someone else to Christ. Andrew found his brother Simon. Now the rest of the Gospels, who is more prominent? Well, Simon is. But Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus Christ. Later on in the chapter, I think just write the next few verses down, Philip finds Nathanael and does the same thing, brings him to Jesus. We are commissioned to go and spread the gospel to every person, to every creature, as it records it in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Jesus said to the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There's no doubt we are to reproduce after our kind. We are Christians. We are to reproduce Christians. We are to bring others to Jesus Christ. That's some of the fruit that Jesus is speaking about when he talks about being fruitful and about how our fruit will honor our Lord and our Heavenly Father. Now we say, how in the world can we win other people to Christ? Well, we've got to go and share the message of Christ with them. Now sometimes we think, well, if we have the opportunity to sit down with the Bible and draw a person from the Bible and pray with them and lead them in a prayer to receive Christ as their Savior, then we have produced fruit. But the Bible tells us that it's not just the one who reaps, but the one who sows who is also being fruitful. And the Bible says that he that sows and he that reaps are one. We both have the reward. Jesus speaks about that back in John chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul records it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, when he speaks about one sows and another waters, but God gives the increase. And so when we go with the gospel, whether we see a person place their faith and trust in Christ or not, if we are going, we are planting the seed, really we are being fruitful in that time. Yes, it's great to be the one who gets to be the person who brings that person to a decision and brings that person to faith in Christ. And, of course, that ought to be our greatest desire to do that. But God gives the increase. And so we're reminded that the success is in going, not necessarily in the reaping, although we would say that is the ultimate success in bringing people to Christ. It's sometimes hard to see that, isn't it? Because it's discouraging when we go and we don't reap. We say, I'd just like to see people come to Christ. But that doesn't always happen. It will happen if we're out and ready and in the right place. God will bring us people along in our life sometimes, but we have the opportunity to get the gospel into the hands of people, into the lives of people, and there ought to be a great desire to do that. Even in our giving to help others spread the gospel, the Apostle Paul records in Philippians chapter 4, he said that because they had given to him, that fruit would abound to their account through the souls that he had reached. That's a great encouragement again, isn't it? Because we can be involved in soul winning, not only ourselves, but by our giving, helping others to be able to go, and the fruit that they bring in for the Lord is also fruit that is one for the Savior. But we also are reminded that there's other types of fruit that we can be involved in and ought to be a part of our life. And that is, another one is Christians strengthened in their faith. We had someone read for us Romans chapter 1, verse 13 that night in Bible study. But the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Roman Christians, says to them, he said, I've tried to come before, but I've been prevented from doing that. But he said, I want to come so that I can have fruit amongst you also. Now they were already Christians. It wasn't that he was winning them to Christ, because he's writing to a group of believers who are in Rome. But he said, I want to come to Rome. I want to minister to you so that I can have fruit amongst you also. And so that reminds us that we can have fruit in our life is not only winning souls to Christ, sharing the gospel, but it's also encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ and helping them in their faith. What are we reminded of in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so as we think about winning souls to the Lord, that's fruit that we can gain to the glory of God. But it's also involved is strengthening Christians in their faith. Many times in the Bible, in the New Testament, over and over again, the commission is given to Christians to build up one another, to edify one another, to strengthen one another in our faith. Ye that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, Romans chapter 15. And verse 1 tells us. Sometimes we say, well, it's the job of the pastor to build up the congregation. Yes, it's part of my job as a pastor to give messages that will that I sought before the Lord, that will build up, that will edify. But it's also our job as individual Christians to be an encouragement one to another, to build up one another, to encourage one another in their faith. And truly, it is a fruit that is in our life, a fruit that honors God. To teach other people, we may be able to, as an older Christian, come alongside a younger Christian and help them and disciple them. And that is bringing fruit forth for the Lord. And we may encourage a discouraged one, maybe who's given up, and encourage them and see them grow back to that place of fellowship with the Lord. And that is fruit in our life. But of course, there's also the fruit of a changed life. People need to see in our lives the evidence of the change that Jesus Christ brings. That is fruit in our life. There needs to be evidence that there's been a change in our life since the Lord came in to our heart. Too many times and too often we find as Christians our desire is to go incognito, to be blending in society. And I don't say we should be odd just for the sake of being odd. I don't think that's helpful at all. There's some people who just want to be contrary just for the sake of being contrary, or just to be different because we're supposed to be different. We need to be different in the right way. We need to be normal people, ordinary people, but we can't just blend in. You know, the darker our world gets, the darker our society gets, the more our society goes away from God's Word, the more obvious it ought to be that we are not of this world, that we are Christians. You know, you have a flashlight, and if you have a flashlight on a sunny day, you turn it on, you say, what's the point? Yeah, if you look in the end of it, oh yeah, the light's on, but you can't see it. It doesn't seem to make much difference on the ground. But when the sun starts to fade away, then all of a sudden that flashlight makes a difference. When it gets very, very, very dark, even the lights on maybe your digital clock seem bright all of a sudden, don't they? So, man, that clock's so bright I can hardly sleep. That's light shining on the other side of the room. In the daytime you say, wow, that's not very bright. That's the way it should be as Christians. We ought not to just blend in. Yes, if our society was doing right, then living right, then we'd be like that flashlight in the sunshine. We say, well, it doesn't seem to give off much light. But as our world gets darker, and people's decisions are not based on biblical principles, but are based upon their own thoughts and their own motives, then the light we shine for as Christ ought to get brighter. We may refer to the fruit of a changed life as the fruit of the Spirit. As Galatians 5 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things. They are the fruit that we should produce in our life. If we are to be fruitful, as Jesus said here, and he doesn't specifically say fruit is bringing other people to Christ, we realize that's part of it. Part of it is encouraging other believers and strengthening them in their faith. But part of it is the evidence that takes place in our life because of what the Lord has done. Those character qualities that identify us with Christ himself. Who was loving? Who was meek? Who was full of all goodness, gentleness? Those things were Jesus Christ. That's who he was. That's what he was like when he went about. And that is the fruit that we ought to manifest in our life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, talking about false prophets, but what does he say? By their fruits you shall know them. You can tell if somebody is teaching true or not true by the evidence in their life. Compare it to the Word of God. They will be known by their fruits, and so will we. We'll be known by the fruit of our life. The fruit of the Spirit evidenced in your life and mine is a testimony of our salvation, and it's that which honors God. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said in verse 8, that ye bear much fruit. The more evident that changes that the Lord has wrought in our life, the more glory to God is brought. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in a couple of minutes. But Jesus speaks also here about degrees of fruit bearing. In verse 2, it says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there's no fruit. The branch that is not bearing fruit, no fruit, no souls won to Christ, no interest and desire to help other people, no evidence of the change that God has wrought in our life. No fruit. There's a possibility that you may have in your life no fruit. According to what Jesus said here, there's a possibility that we may have no fruit. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about rewards. And one day all our works will be tried. And they'll be tried by fire to determine of what sort they are. If they are wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible says that they will be burned up. Does it say we shall that person whose works are burned up will be saved, yet so as by fire? In other words, they had no fruit in their life. They were saved. They made it to heaven. Maybe we would say their coattails were smoldering. But they made it. But there was no fruit in their life. It's a sad thing, isn't it, when a Christian fails to produce any fruit in their life. Because we are here. Why did Jesus leave us here? He left us here to be fruitful. To win people to Christ. To evidence the change that He has wrought in our life. To encourage other believers in Christ. To give so that people can go and spread the gospel. We are here to bear fruit. That's why we're here. We're here. If not, then the Lord may as well just catch us up to heaven. Just immediate rapture. As soon as we're saved, take us to heaven. No, we are here to bear fruit. And if we bear no fruit, we are not fulfilling that which we ought to be fulfilling for the Lord. But then he says that there is fruit. He says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit. So there's another degree of fruit bearing. There's a certain amount of fruit. Every branch of me that bears fruit. There's some fruit. That's definitely better than no fruit. There's the evidence of a living plant is the fruit that it produces, isn't it? How do you know it's alive? Well, the leaves are green. That's sort of not really the fruit of it, but it's an evidence that there's life there. A healthy plant does bring forth fruit if it's supposed to be a fruit-bearing plant. And so there is fruit there. Jesus says that there is some produce no fruit, some produce fruit. Every true believer should show some fruit in his or her life. But Jesus says then at the end of the verse that every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So we've got no fruit, some fruit. Now we've got more fruit. The farmer desires more than just enough to prove that the plant is alive. Oh, look, there's an apple on that apple tree. Great, it's gave us some fruit. But that's not what makes him happy. What makes him happy is to see a tree full of apples. More fruit. Believers should not be satisfied with just some fruit, but should desire to produce more fruit. How far back in our life do we need to look to say, well, there was some fruit a year ago, or 6 months ago, or 5 years ago. Well, that's good, but we ought not to have to look so far back in our life. We ought to be able to see the evidence of fruit in our life on a daily basis. No matter how much fruit we have borne, we ought to desire to produce more. Jesus said that that's the Father's desire, is that the branch that's producing some would produce more, and so that it would be purged in order for it to produce more fruit. No matter how long you've been a Christian, fruit bearing is not over. It's a beautiful verse in Psalm 92, verse 14, that says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Isn't it a blessing to see people who've been saved for many years and yet still there's evidence of what the Lord is currently at work in their life? They're reaching others, they're being a blessing, they're being an encouragement, or that you can just see the love and the joy and the peace and long-suffering even becoming greater in their life. Rather than becoming a bitter person, they are producing continually fruit in their life. Rather than just saying, well, I'll just pass it on and let the other younger people do all the work now, they're still producing some fruit in their life. Still produce fruit in old age. There is really no official retirement in a Christian life, is there? We change ministries, we change opportunities, and maybe we can't do the things that we used to do, but we should still be fruit producing in our life, looking to produce more fruit. Yes, I remember back in the day, I taught Sunday school and we led this group here and went on this mission trip and we saw some people get saved, and well, that's great. But what about now? What about today? Is there still some fruit being produced, more fruit? Jesus goes on to say then in verse number 5 and also in verse 8, as we've referred to it also. In verse 5 he says, "The same bringeth forth much fruit." In verse 8 he says, "That herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." What is much? That's a lot. That's, you know, exceeds more, and it's much. The proof of a very healthy, vibrant plant it produces a greater amount of fruit. I know that there are some plants that are called everbearing. I don't know much about gardening and so on, but I love raspberries, and I've heard people talk about everbearing raspberries. I think that sounds good to me, always bearing. You don't have to say, "Oh no, we missed raspberry season," like we did this year. Missed it. Ah. Man, no raspberries, but then somebody come along and said, "Hey, I just picked these this morning." "What do you mean?" "Well, I've got an ever-bearing plant. It continually produces. They produce much fruit." See, there are different seasons in our life, but our lives should always be producing so that we can produce much fruit to the glory of God. We can be fruitful in every area of our life. We can't say, "Well, I'm winning souls to Christ, so that's my fruit." Well, you can encourage the brethren, that's your fruit. Well, you can show proof of being a Christian by the love and the joy and the peace, that's your fruit. No, we can be doing all those at the same time, can't we? That's producing much fruit. And that to be our desire to do that as believers is to produce much fruit because it's glorifying to God. But you say, how? How do we do it? How do we produce fruit in our life? Well, Jesus begins in verses 1 and 2, particularly verse 2, and he tells us how. We have to be attached to the vine. He's speaking about a grapevine here. Grapes were a very typical crop in Israel. And so he's speaking about that, and he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman." The husbandman, of course, the vine dresser, the farmer, if you will, the one who trimmed the branches and kept everything growing well. But Jesus said, "I am the vine." And he talks about being attached to the vine. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." We need to be in Christ. We can't produce fruit. A branch by itself will not produce fruit. It has to be attached to where the nutrient comes from. It has to be attached to where the things that produce it are coming up through it. Nobody can bear fruit without being a Christian. Christian fruit of Christ. You say that makes sense. We can't bear fruit of a Christian. There are people who are loving and kind and all those things, but really they are not bearing Christ's fruit if they are not abiding in Christ. Life or salvation is necessary for bearing fruit. But then he says in verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Being cleansed is a condition of bearing fruit. See, how do we bear fruit as a Christian? We need to be clean vessels. We are saved once and for all. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we place our faith in Christ, it's settled, it's taken care of. But every day in our life, we need to be daily cleansed. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He still needed to have his hands and his feet cleansed. So he is cleansed, needs not to be completely washed, but his hands and his feet. Jesus speaks about the purging in verse 2, and his father is the husbandman and purges the fruit branches. The trees and plants need those suckers, as we call them, removed, don't they? Because they take away from the branch that is producing fruit. And so they snip those off or break them off so that they don't hinder the fruit bearing. Sometimes we need to be purged, but we regularly need to be cleansed. The Father must put us through some things sometimes in our lives to remove those suckers that are taking away from our own fruit producing potential. 2 Timothy 2 verses 20 and 21 says that God uses clean vessels, meet and prepared and fit for the master's use. Clean. Changing from the scenario of thinking about a plant to thinking about a cup or a bowl or a plate, you don't want to use a dirty plate, a dirty cup. Maybe sometimes you say, well, it was just me that used it, it's not so bad. But you don't want to use what somebody else used and it wasn't cleaned properly. We need to be clean. God wants us to be clean vessels. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To be clean, a vessel that is clean. So to bear fruit, we need to be attached to the vine, we need to be clean, and we need to be abiding in Him. Verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Abiding in Christ, that means to be in tune with Him, to be in fellowship with Him, to realize that it is He who gives the abilities and talents that we have, that we are, as He says there, able to do nothing without Him. To abide in Him means to be dependent upon Him, to recognize that He is our source of strength. He is the source of our nutrition, if you will. He is the source that we need to be in order to produce fruit. How foolish for a branch to think that it could produce fruit except for it's the life that comes from the vine. It can't. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, now are ye rich. They thought they were rich. They thought, hey, we're doing great. Paul said, no, you're not doing great. You're not truly rich. When Jesus wrote to the church in Revelation of Laodicea, he said, listen, I know that you think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know. You're poor and wretched and blind and naked. You need to abide in me. You need to come to me and allow me to give you that eye salve that you may see and those things. Paul had that thorn in the flesh to remind him that, hey, all those great things he did, all those churches he started, all those people that got saved, Jesus said, Paul, that's not you that's doing that. That's me working in you. And if you think that it's of you, you're not going to be fruitful very long. And so we recognize the need of abiding in Christ. We can become proud very easily. Look at what I've done. Look at all the great things in my life. Look at the proof of this in my life. Jesus said, no, you need to abide in me. And I in you. And that way you can continue to bring forth fruit. He He is our strength. He is our rock. He is our deliverer. He is everything. Without Him, we have no strength to produce fruit of any kind in our life. And tying in with that, of course, is obedience. And He says in verse number 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." In verse 12, "It's my commandment that ye love one another." And then verse number 17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." If we want to be producing fruit in our life, we need to be obedient believers in Christ, living a life of obedience as Christ lived in obedience to the Father. How can we expect to bear fruit doing it any other way than God's way? I'm sure that Philip wouldn't have left Samaria to go down to the wilderness of Gaza because he thought it was a good idea. He would think, this is a waste of my time. But he was obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and in his obedience, what happened? He met that man that was traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, reading the scriptures, scratching his head. "I don't understand this. I need somebody to guide me." And Philip was right there. Why? Because he was obedient to the voice of the Spirit that said, "Go down to the way that goes to the Gather, which is desert." Because he was obedient, he bore fruit that he wouldn't have borne otherwise. We realize that we need to do things God's way. And by the way, we realize also from what Jesus tells us here that obedience brings joy to our life. Bearing fruit and obedience brings joy. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Our philosophy is, if I get my own way, I'll be happy. But Jesus says, no, you do things my way and you'll have joy. Obedience. God blesses obedience, and He causes us to be fruitful as we obey Him. And other times, many other times in Scriptures we could look at. Remember when Paul and his group were going to look at, they wanted to go to this place, and the Holy Spirit said, no. Well, let's go over here. And the Spirit said, no. And then that vision came to Paul by night, the man of Macedonia, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And he obeyed that call of the Lord and went, and great fruit in Philippi, because he was obedient. There was fruit that took place. And so there's a need in our life to be fruitful, of being attached to the vine, being clean, being abiding, being obedient, and of course, love. Many times in the verses that we read here this evening, Jesus speaks about love. Abide in my love. Love one another. My Father loved me, I have loved you. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Greater love hath no man than this. And so on. He talks about love. How can we bear fruit if we are not loving? If we don't love the Lord, we're not going to bring forth the fruit of a changed life in our life. Because we love Him, and therefore we're able to bear that fruit that comes from Him working through us. We're not going to go out and win people to Christ and try and give the gospel to them if we don't love God enough or love that person enough to say they need to know the Lord. We're not going to do much for encouraging other Christians and other believers and discipling other Christians if we don't love the Lord and love those people enough to say, you know, I think it maybe with God's help I can help them to grow in their faith. But we have to love one another. We have to love God. Love is a requirement in bringing forth fruit. Jesus' ministry was filled with compassion. So, in conclusion, what are the fruits, the results of fruit bearing? Well, verse 8 says, God is glorified. That's the purpose of the Christian, isn't it? To bring glory to God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to bring glory to God through our life. And when we bear fruit, Jesus says, that brings glory to the Father. Glory is brought to God when souls are redeemed. There's rejoicing in heaven and over every sinner that repents. The Bible says that those who are saved are unto the praise of His glory in Ephesians chapter 1. Say, why should I live to the glory of God? Well, because He made you, and He saved you, and He's blessed your life greatly. So we ought to desire to bring glory to Him. Seeing what God can do in the life of a person, the change that he can make brings glory to God. That's what Paul said when he's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I'm the worst of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said the reason he saved me was to be a testimony to the fact that he could save anybody, to the glory of God. And so our care for one another is a testimony to the world. It's a testimony that, hey, there's people who maybe have lots, not much in common, but they meet together. They care for one another. That praises God. What? Why do they do that? Well, because they're all believers, and they believe that God wants them to do that. And they love one another because God loved them, and glory is brought to His name. Matthew 5:16, I know we're familiar with that verse that says, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glory to God through the fruit that our life bears. See, when that fruit of the Spirit is in place in our life, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and so on, that is, when that's produced in our life, then people will see our good works. And then we'll say, hey, I'm just a person like you, but God has done a work in my life. And that brings glory to Him. Glory to the Lord. And of course we know that not only does it bring glory to God, which would be a primary motive, but James tells us that he that converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You know, that part of fruit bearing, that part of winning other people to Christ, say, changes their eternal destiny from eternal death to eternal life. There's nothing else that has that kind of value to it, is there? We could say, I used to work on furniture. I worked for my dad. We used to fix up old cars. We used to fix up old furniture. And it's very rewarding to see an old car get fixed up and painted and come out all shiny and new. It's very rewarding to take a piece of furniture that was ready to be burned on the bonfire and to take it and strip it all the paint off it and fix do some repairs to it and see it looking nice and clean, and people say, wow, look at the transformation. My dad has some books of some of the, you know, worst case stuff that he'd taken, what it used to be and what it was. You say, wow, what a worthwhile job when you can see what you've done. But hey, that's nothing compared to being able to have a part in taking somebody's life destined for hell and showing them how they can have heaven through Jesus Christ. Saves a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Nothing more fulfilling and lasting that we can do with our lives than winning souls to Jesus Christ. And so we need to be about the business of bearing fruit, sowing the seed, seeking to reap the harvest. We need to be about the work of encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? But a discouraged Christian is not going to do much for reaching others, but an encouraged Christian will. We need to be about have a desire in our heart to demonstrate what the change that the Lord has made and to show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Why? Because we may give the gospel, but if our life completely contradicts what we're trying to tell people, it's not going to be a very effective gospel presentation. And so all those fruits, really, they all come together in one, don't they? To glorify God. How? By abiding in Him, by being obedient, by loving others as He has loved, by being clean vessels fit for His use. So tonight I encourage us to start out this year, we're still early, just a week in, to say, let's make 2017 a year where we are fruitful and multiply. Let's pray together.